Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Time now for The Drive with Mark Ennis on 93.9 The Ville. The Drive is brought to you by Fitness Market, Louisville's premier location for fitness equipment and in-home saunas. Online at thefitnessmarket.com. Now here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Jeff Lightsey Jr. Phone lines are open, 8150-939. That's the number if you want to give us a call here. 3831-939 for the UPS jobs text line. You can hit us up that way if you would like to do so as well. Look, we were just talking about the Kenny Payne era. Mm-hmm. and the fact that, look, I think Pat Kelsey will inherit the most unified fan base in a really, really long time. Maybe out of all of the previous coaches.
Yeah.
Not far fetched. Since, like, even like more, like, there, obviously there was quite a bit of rancor around Rick being fired and Denny.
Yes.
Being pushed into retirement too. Mm-hmm. And some of those never went away.
No.
But I don't really know that we're dealing with much of anything. And it's actually like, what about the KP Mafia, which whatever. I don't hear much from any of those folks anymore.
So that's what Kelsey did a good job of, was putting that fire out.
Like right from away?
From day one.
How?
By saying Kenny Payne is welcome.
Oh, okay.
You know, presser, he said Kenny Payne is welcome. And he didn't give you anything to really push back on. Like, there was nothing that you could... up until this point, and I don't think, and this is the most important point, because once the game's done, we know there's been nothing that anybody could say, well, Kenny would have did that better. Kenny could have did that better. Well, none of that. Like, every because he's done everything Kenny didn't do, which is being on The Drive, being on the V Show, and not just here. HAS, DRB, Wave, like them too. Like, he's done all multiple times. And he's doing another presser this Thursday. Think about it. The first time we heard from Kenny last year was in July.
Yeah, we went from March to July.
Didn't hear from him one time.
Yeah.
You can't get enough of Pat Kelsey. In his first, you know, 2 months on the job. And so, like, there hasn't been a step where someone could have said, well, Kenny could have did that better. Kenny could have did that. Like, there hasn't been one. And then we know when the games come, we know he'll exceed him on that front. So he's done all the things. There's been no way for you to have been able to, you know, wedge that angle in, because he's done everything. And then he also embraced Kenny Payne from the jump. And that is bigger than a lot of people. And like most people would, you just don't say anything at all. But he actually said his name and said he's welcome at any time. He kind of put out that little fire from the very jump.
Yeah, that's something that, like, if he didn't do that, we'd understand completely.
Yeah.
But he did that, and, like, to your point, like, yeah, definitely mended the fence that, or the bridge, you know, that we need to go forward with this program. Because, like you said, there was a lot of people that were like, he's done wrong. And it's like, no, mm-hmm. He had all the opportunities. He did to himself at this point.
He did have one defender to the bitter end, and that was Rick Bozich.
And Corey Alexander.
And Corey, but locally he had Rick Bozich.
He did.
And I think it has been, and I don't know that Rick would admit to this or not, but it, read him long enough, interact and listen to him long enough, which he's been around here for
decades
now.
Yeah,
and at least he and Eric are an institution, for sure.
Yes.
Justifiably, they've mm-hmm. earned it. Their reputations. It did drive people crazy, the degree to which he would treat Indiana differently.
Yeah.
Deferentially.
Like, without question.
So I'm going to read you some excerpts here.
There it is.
This is from this. Here is an article. So Mike Woodson was hired 1 year before Kenny.
Yes.
At IU. But it, very similar resumes in that he'd never been a college head coach, but he was a it was an alumni play.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of thing.
Both were the Knicks.
That's true too. I didn't think, forgot about that part of
yeah.
it. But he had at least been a head coach before.
Just only at the pro level.
And look, they got a little bit better, and then they've been pretty mid otherwise. They had the tournament.
I think they made it 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
They made the tournament.
But didn't make it last year.
Last year, the 19 and 14.
And then they big time players in the NIL transfer portal world. There's a lot of the optimism about this year. And Mike Woodson is out making friends by canceling, what, fan events and such that have been around for quite some time.
Way before him, yeah.
And it's fascinating to me to read this, which I'll share some of it. I'll just read it. He said, good vibes should be percolating around Indiana University men's basketball in ways you wouldn't expect. Not for a program that missed the 2024 NCAA tournament, lost the McDonald's All-American to a decommitment, and publicly fussed at its fan base in March. The Hoosiers hit it big in the portal. They're showing up in nearly every preseason top 25. They'll have a player in Kalel Owa taken in the first round. Kalel Ware in the first round of the draft tonight for the second consecutive season. All good. With a question mark. No, not all good. This week's been a pungent airing of dirty laundry. At Indiana, with Coach Mike Woodson, the drama never sleeps. He thinks his head coaching job at IU is a lifetime appointment. Critics should return to their rooms, lock the doors, and turn out the lights. Every critic who openly confess, even critics who openly confess their fandom and have worked overtime to try to lift the program from its two-decade malaise. And that's where he talks about the Hoosier hysterics and canceling the a fan event there. In the latest edition of the popular Hoosier Hysterics podcast, the host said that Woodson summoned one of them from L.A. to Bloomington this spring to tell them he will end the program's association with the Hysterics' annual Fan Fest, golf outing, and fantasy camp. Folks who believe the Hysterics had too much access or influence and did too many silly things celebrated the news. I get that. Whatever. Sometimes they went too far and turned the spotlight on themselves, but they are missing the broader message. Woodson will not tolerate even minor criticism from them, from fans, from anybody. He's Bob Knight without the three NCAA titles. So I just want to, he is calling out Mike Woodson here for thinking this is a lifetime appointment, right? So a lack of urgency.
Yes.
Unearned kind of complacency.
Mm-hmm.
And he won't tolerate even the slightest amount of criticism about anything that he does. I'm not done. But like, as soon as you read, like, start reading this, I'm like, where was any of this for the last 2 years? Why is Indiana sacrosanct? The standard is the standard, buddy. You're blowing it here. And we're talking about a fan event? The hell fan events can he ever do?
Well, got rid of Louisville Live. Like, got rid of the biggest one we had. I literally got rid of it. And this is coming off a 19-win season, Mark. I'm not saying it's great, but they won 7 more games last year alone than the 2 years Kenny was here. 7 more than the 2 years. Rick Bowsich is also the same person that told us year 2 of Kenny Payne really was year 1. And he said that, not me.
I have always wondered what people think about that. Did Bowsich give Kenny the idea, or did Kenny give Bowsich the idea that it was year 0, his first year? Like, where did that come from?
No, I've never heard it before. I've been covering sports for a long time, watched sports for, I'd never heard that before. Not from a coach and then a well-respected media member backing that up. I've never seen that before. But I don't know, to have this type of energy from Mike Woodson. I'm not saying he don't deserve it.
It's going to get better.
Keep going.
Okay. He's out of touch. This is Bowsich. He's out of touch, incredibly thin-skinned for a guy who coached in New York City, creating another unnecessary mess. Just coach the team and win games. The rest will take care of itself. Now, this is what kills me right here. Apparently, Woodson believes that going 19-14, losing twice to Purdue, three times to Nebraska, finishing tied for sixth in the Big Ten and missing the NCAA tournament was a good season for IU basketball. He would have hung Kenny Payne's bust in the Hall of Fame for going 19-14. And
over 2 years. Over 2 years. Over 2 years.
And who the hell has a problem? Like, I realize they're rivals, but God, everyone loses to Purdue.
They were in the national championship.
Everyone lost to them.
Yeah, like, you picked a team. Like you said, they were in the national championship. It was not like Nebraska. I get they were. Oh, yeah. They have Hoiberg now. Like, come on. They're okay. The guy who fell in the NBA.
Yeah. And Purdue, like, for the last 2 years, beat everybody except for UConn. I mean, they essentially, like,
beat. Only a handful of teams beat UConn.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Purdue, like, had the 2-time national player of the year. Are you, is there more? Looking at, oh my God.
Oh, can I say one thing? Yeah. If my memory serves right, we lost to Kentucky the last 2 years.
Correct.
By lot.
And so, everyone else.
Without them, like, with them only putting the gas on for, like, the first part of the first half.
Yeah, a team that's won one tournament game since COVID and Purdue was in the national championship game, but that's a red flag for Woodson.
Woodson and Anthony Leal, one of his seniors who grew up in Bloomington and should know better, launched this discussion in early March with clumsy comments about quote-unquote true fans after IU's senior day win over Michigan State. Woodson bristles at any criticism. He believes fans should come equipped with one gear, blind support. A discouraging word is never to be heard. That is what you told us.
Yeah.
Should have been happening here. And now he's ripping Woodson, who doesn't even, I think, actually think that. But maybe they sound pretty analogous. But, like, now here we are listening to how ridiculous it is to expect that after a 19-14 season,
mm-hmm,
when that was what he absolutely called for, backed up Kenny when Kenny talked about true fans, mm-hmm, and that sort of, like, Kenny didn't shy away from the true fans talk, especially early on.
Not at all.
For a far worse product.
Maybe it's co-signing year 30. I mean, this is the pot calling the kettle black if I've ever seen it here. This is blind hypocrisy that, like, if anyone, like, if Eric Crawford wrote the article or anyone else, would be like, okay, I see you, because you were critical of Kenny the last 2 years. But this is just hypocrisy at its finest here.
It's pretty wild. Like, I haven't finished the article, but I don't know. That's rough, Rick. Like, that, I mean, to go this hard on Mike Woodson immediately after we saw what happened, what went down with Kenny. Like, you literally called year two year one, and you called year one year zero. Like, we that's on video. Like, there's articles that you wrote during the last 2 years that was doing exactly what you're calling out Mike Woodson for doing. And this is Woodson in 3 years has made the tournament twice. Like, that's the guy that you're getting. And even in the down year was 19 wins. We couldn't get 19 wins over 2 years. But that was okay. I don't know, man. This is rough, Rick. This is pretty rough.
Just where was this? Why is Indiana worth white knighting for falling off of a NCAA tournament standard when we couldn't? Like, where was any of this? He never wrote an article about Kenny like this.
I was going to say, and like, Archie Miller was not good at Indiana either. Mac was in the tournament, like, once. But this is, I just don't see the logic that, like, yeah, you should be critical of Indiana. They were 19-14, they missed the tournament. It's like, oh, they finished sixth in the Big Ten. The Big Ten was pretty damn good in the regular season, because they always are.
And Louisville finished 15th the last 2 years.
I know.
Like, dead last. And like you said, there wasn't even an ounce of this. Like, it was actually the opposite, telling us why. Like, I mean, that's the part where it hurts, because Rick was a part of trying to push the message for Kenny, and he was on this island alone, pretty much in the media anyway, telling us why we should have more patience, why this will get turned around, why this is only year one, even though it's year two. Like, he was a part of that, and then to go from that for a guy that didn't deserve that to this. Now, I'm not saying Mike Woodson is a saint. Like, he probably is a jerk or
whatever. I don't care about Mike Woodson.
But that's the thing. Like he can be whatever because he's got two tournament runs and a 19-win season behind him. We had 58 losses behind us. Like, it's a giant difference. And yeah, Rick, this one hurts. This one just, it's just not.
Well, it tells you, like, it's in there. Yeah. Like, he can do this when he wants to.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, it's bad enough to have not played that role when Kenny was here bombing. I don't know. That's what it was.
Yeah.
He went the extra step and sort of aided in trying to create cover for it.
That, yeah.
Like, not only am I not going to be critical, I'm going to be critical of anyone who's critical.
And I'm going to give credibility to some of this foolish talk. Like, it's the year one, I keep getting stuck on that, but that was like the big one because that was just simply foolish. And you're giving credence to foolishness. And yet, when you see foolishness, a smidge of foolishness or whatever it could be over in Indiana, you're going to blast it. See, that's just not the hill you want to die on. Like, Kenny, like we said it. We was like, yo, Kenny is not the hill you want to die on if you're Rick Bozich. Like, that's not.
You
like,
said he tried to kill us on it. In particular, radio. So if this feels like I'm picking on him, I am. Because every time we wrote anything in defense of Kenny, it was all about how the idiots on the radio won't stop being mean to Kenny. Well, shoe fits.
Like, I get they had, like, a friendship that dated back years, but, like, at some point, you've got to be critical, especially in that job where it warranted being critical of a product that was below average.
You got to put that away, though.
And the thing is, it's not even just about being critical. You just got to tell the truth.
Right.
You just got to tell the truth.
Yeah, don't gaslight us.
Yes. Exactly. Like, just tell the truth. Like, but acting like we're not seeing what we're seeing. Yeah. Like, everybody is seeing. And acting like it's one thing when it's actually something else. Come on, man. Like, you're better than that. Like, you're better than that. And right here, you're showing us that you are. Like you said, now we know. And all this does is hurt your credibility even more.
And Texter said, Rick jumped on the Titanic. It's true.
Yeah, it just hurts your credibility even more because now, whether, you know, we've been reading you for 20 years or, you know, two, you're showing us, oh, you had this in you the whole time. For anybody not named Kenny Payne. And that's not good. That just isn't good at all.
He is right about Mike Woodson, though.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing.
Like, you start, this is never the sort of thing. We're canceling really popular fan things or really a coach like going out of their way to make sure that, like, random media outlets sort of feel his displeasure and that sort of thing. Like, I remember someone in the football program telling me that Bobby Petrino would make fun of me, which is fun.
Oh, real?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I thought that was awesome. Oh, I thought it was awesome. Yeah.
Like, look at you.
No, trust me. This is 2018. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
I stood up straight. I was like, absolutely. Hell yeah. I'll take that.
Yeah, I did. I perked up. But, I was like, oh, yeah.
Right. It'll happen to you. Believe me. You'll get there. You've had a little bit of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've had a little bit of it. Absolutely. Right. You've had a taste. My first thought was, oh, hell yeah, that's awesome.
That means they're listening.
Right. But winning coaches, winning programs, like, they don't do this stuff. Mm-mm. They don't have time for this stuff. They don't care about this stuff. And usually when you have a coach that starts taking the time to sort of, exert influence and sort of rearrange who gets access and that sort of thing, that dude's that ship sailed. Yeah. Like, these are the death throes.
Lincoln did that last year with USC. We criticized him for that. It's like, no, LA Times or whatever. It's like, you can't come to practice and cover. It's like, why? Like, they're doing their job reporting on whatever's going on there.
You see how their season went. they had a miserable season with the Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, the thing is, it does you no favors. Like, it does nothing but hurt you. And even if you have a hell of a resume, you start acting petty towards the media, the fans and the media, they don't forget. Kind of watched it happen with Cal. Like, we kind of watched it. Like, as That's great right. as great as he was at Kentucky, he started going at these media guys who have major influence for no reason, essentially. Like, essentially for just doing their job. I don't think they were being excessive. They were just like, hey, okay, we win the draft every year. We need to win more in March, which that's acceptable. Like, that's okay. That he's paid. He's not paid to send guys to the NBA. He's paid to win games at the collegiate level. And if guys happen to go to the NBA, that's cool. But you're paid to win banners, not to win the draft every year. And once they started doing that, and he starts sending assistants every week and never doing anything, well, now they turn on you. And that voice, which was small at first, starts to get louder and louder. And you continue to lose in March. And it gets louder and louder. And nothing good can come from it. So much so that when you flirt with Arkansas, they say, hey, you can go ahead and go. Whether you want to or not. And that's not the game that you want to play, man. It's not good.
That man took that dog for a walk in a stroller in front of everybody.
On Lexington Road.
Like, out in the open.
The busiest street in Lexington. It's literally the busiest street in Lexington.
He's like, I can't talk. What are you doing out here? Take that dog in a stroller some other time.
I always go for a walk at this time of day.
Exactly. Right before the 6 o'clock news, of course.
I just want to know if any of the Lexington media is going to show for Mark Pope because he was on the going 96. If he, like... he's gonna be Kenny Payne.
He
back.
Brought them cookies today.
He did. Bring
did he
cookies.
Really? I missed yeah. that.
No, he did.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Yeah. They're
like if they're 500 next year, miss the NCAA tournament. It's like, oh, he's got it going in the right direction.
He brought them cookies at the press conference.
They tweeted
today.
About it and was thrilled.
Oh, everyone.
I mean, they were.
Might
thrilled.
Be the first coach to ever do that.
Probably so.
Satterfield brought us a bottle of Angel's Envy when he came in here a couple summers ago. We drank that whole thing when he left.
It was a great day.
It was awesome. We cranked that thing open when he left.
Yeah, no, like, yeah, this.
The question I have about Rick and like the tone of this and everything mm-hmm. is how quickly does he turn his guns on Pat Kelsey?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the funny thing about that is the justification for all of the just ridiculous caping for Kenny was what he had inherited and how bad things had been up to that point, that it takes a long time and all that sort of thing. Exponentially more so for Pat Kelsey, right?
Mm-hmm. You would think so.
I mean, look at what he inherited.
Nothing.
If they were in the exhibition game by like 20, he'll be like, oh, show him about 25. Show him about 30.
Well, that's what, see, and that's,
How are we not going to be cynical about that if he does that?
Well, that's the thing. Like that's why you can't do what you did with Kenny, man. Like because now
how do you stop?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the thing because it's like nothing moving forward can make sense. Like this Mike Woodson article doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And whatever you write about Kelsey, it just won't make sense.
Yeah.
Like it's just like if he does what you said, oh, you should have did better or blah blah blah. Like you're like, yo, dude, you're the same one that said Kenny Payne should get a year three. You're the same one that said everything was going down the right direction and nobody knows what they're talking about and everything is fine. The house isn't burning down around us. We're just crazy. Like so. Yeah, that's rough, man. It's
yeah, like if you're an IU fan that stumbled upon the article somehow and you read it, you were unfamiliar with his work before, you may, you know, agree with it. It's like, okay, he's making some good points
absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. You probably do agree
yeah.
with it. Yeah.
But being who we are and knowing who he is, we have a lot of pushback to it because of the hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy, I think, is the right word.
Mm.
Like, yeah. I'm not saying that there's any of the criticism of Mike Woodson that's not right.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, or justified and based in something. We're saying, where was this?
For 2 years.
Nonstop at the worst possible thing to spend it on.
Yeah.
Especially a fan base that's knowledgeable. Like, we're not dumb. We know what good basketball is. It may work somewhere else that maybe he's not used to winning or it's like, okay, you see the baby steps. But it's like, we're not dumb. We're 11 years away from a national championship.
And it wasn't just like a one-time thing.
Yeah.
Like, it was consistent over
He never even came around.
Yeah, like it was consistent, and even with Rick's stories, like it was consistent over 2 years, almost like we were the crazy ones.
Yes, absolutely.
Like that's also the problem.
Radio
too.
Is really bad.
Yeah,
that's what pisses me off. A little
yeah,
bit.
Like that's what also like Like, that's also what, like, it took one midseason from Mike Woods in 19-14 to get this. One midseason in a canceled fan event to get these, to get 2,000 words of, like, smoke from Mike Woodson. But over the course of 2 years of the worst stretch in a program that's been in existence for over 100 years, it wasn't even an ounce of this.
Yeah.
And so it calls into question a lot of things. That's the only problem. It's like, is it because...
It's not principle-based.
No, it's not.
It's personal.
Yeah.
And I don't care for columns to be like, your personal preference. Like, I want it to be based on something that applies universally. So that I can sort of expect, like, I know how he feels about things.
Yes.
And whoever's doing them things, kill him for it. Or praise them for it. But instead, it's basically like, do I like this person? What they're doing is fine. If somebody else comes in here, does the exact same thing and I don't like them, screw them.
Like, Pal Kills has been...
Who the hell wants to read that?
Yeah, like, PK's come on the show a couple times now. But if he starts losing games, me and you and Jeff and Biscuit, we'll be critical of the program.
We have to. Because that's the credibility factor. Like that's why I said, like, KB's not the guy to lose your credibility over.
Right.
Like, it just wasn't worth it. Because now, like I said, everything that you put out is subject to questioning. Like, and it's like, oh, did you write this article about Mike Woodson because you don't cover Indiana? Like, you're not going to be going to every home game in Indiana. So it's easy to kill him here, but you got to see Kenny Payne every week after every game. Like, was it that? Is it like now? Like, that's when people get, oh, the media only does things for the people that they like because, you know, they got to go see that person every week. Like, we got to see Pat Kelsey after every game. You have to see Jeff Brohm after every game. And so if you said something or wrote something that was critical, it could be the truth, but it was critical. See, they can be bad.
And you know who does do that? And even though a lot of people hate him, I don't. Tim Sullivan.
Yeah. No, yes.
Tim Sullivan?
Yes.
Like, Tim Sullivan believes in Tim Sullivan. But the principles, right? Like, yes. I'm a contrarian.
Mm-hmm.
It's a role. I think he views himself as sort of like it's an officer almost. Like, this is the role I play in society,
mm-hmm.
and everyone's fair game.
Yes.
But it's consistent, it's principled, mm-hmm. and you might not like it, especially when, like, it's sort of your person or mm-hmm. your cause's moment in his spotlight. It's things, but he's not a slave to anybody.
No. But, and that's why you can respect it. Like, it's like, yep. Okay, yeah, he does it. Let's say he do it to Jeff Brohm or something, right? Ask him a question that, like, it's the question everybody wants to hear,
yeah.
But it's kind of like the one that may rock the boat or whatever. But it's like, hey, I got to respect it. Because he wrote about it, and then he went to the podium and asked him about it. It wasn't just, oh, because there's a chance they could deny me access, or there's a chance they could turn down my interview request. I got to stay away from that because they may turn down my interview request, or they may deny some of my access. But it's like, no, I got a job to do.
Yeah.
Like, I have to give the people what they want. I have a job to do. There's questions that I have to ask. There's questions, the most pertinent questions. And then if they stink, I have to call it like it is. They stink. And this is why they stink. But if you're awesome, they're awesome. And this is why they're awesome. It works both ways. But you can't sit here and say one person stinks, even though they're okay. But you say, oh, they're just so bad. And then this person really stinks and say, hey, guys, you guys are going too hard. They're actually on the right track. No, they're not.
Yeah.
No, they're not. You can't do that. Like, it's bad.
It is the one nice thing about, because we had texture, was like, that's why they didn't like, say, Dean, you know, lobbying for Richard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the nice thing about Pat is, like, he's really not, he doesn't belong to anybody.
Yes.
Like, he's not any subset constituency's candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many of those there really were this time. Kenny clearly was one of those.
Yes.
He doesn't belong to really to anyone. This was sort of, okay, once the big names weren't interested, this is who Josh wanted, which is exactly how I hoped the coaching search would go, even though I made a lot of jokes about Pat. Sorry, Pat.
I was a big Dusty May guy.
I wasn't familiar with your game.
No,
I wasn't.
Not at all. Who was?
All right.
Biscuit? He's about it. He's the only one.
But, like, he doesn't... He's not the champion of any sort of subset of people that mm-hmm. are going to defend him no matter what. I think if he stinks, we're just all going to kill him.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen at all.
I don't think so, but that's the truth, though.
Right.
Like, it's because he is the candidate nobody knew about, except for Dave. It's easy that if he isn't good, it's like, oh, yeah, this we should have known from the jump this wasn't going to work, right? But I don't think that's the case. And all the foundation that he's laid so far is kind of like, oh, you're actually quite impressive, coach. Then you go back and look at the resume and you watch the style of play and you're like, coach, you know what you're talking about. And then you listen to him talk, especially about basketball and his strength coach and stuff. I'm like, okay, coach, you might know something. You might be onto something there. And that helps guide you into what you hope is a successful season.
And that's the nice thing about Pat is, like you were saying, there's no emotional connection that we had because none of us follow Charleston basketball. It's like, yeah, we're watching the tournament because they're playing Alabama. Or I was like, okay, let's see. Maybe the upset happens. They don't, but so be it. But it's like, there's no emotion that we had with him before. Whereas Kenny, the older people, especially with the 86 championship, or his time playing here and then being a draft pick out of him, it's like, hey, I love this guy as a player. But that's about it. But there's no emotion with Pat Kelsey, so where if it's successful, we can all be very happy for it. If it's a failure,
it's not like firing a relative.
Yeah, it's like, okay, yeah. We can cut bait, and no one's going to be that sad, or no one's going to be lobbying for another year if it's not warranted.
Yeah, because Kenny also, I mean, you, the older players, you were saying, like the A, you just had the Denny Crum contingent.
Yeah.
Right? The guys that played under Crum, and that lasts all the way up, that lasts past the 80s. That lasts up until the year, 2000. So, like, there was a Denny Crum contingent of guys that wanted Kenny. From the 70s on down, like they all wanted Kenny. And so therefore that there was a lot of lobbying and there was a lot of like talks in the media. Hey, take my record books out if you don't hire Kenny Payne. All that stuff was going on.
Next time it's like, deal.
Yeah.
I don't need to see Butch Beard's name listed anymore.
There we go. Yeah. Bless their hearts. Like those.
It really happened. Like, I'm telling you, when this. We talk about this stuff like this really happened.
I hope nobody believes us.
They can't.
Right.
They can't.
I hope it's so good this year. The people are like, what? That didn't happen.
Yeah, like people were saying, take their names out of the record books if you don't hire this guy. We hired this guy, and it was literally the worst thing.
And it was our fault that it didn't work.
Exactly. Like, according to him.
Right.
According to him. So, yeah, but though, like, none of, like you said, the emotional detachment is what was needed. And I'm glad that he's hitting the ground running. Like, he's showing, like, and the beautiful thing is like, you could just tell this was a guy that's worked his whole life to get to this spot.
Yeah.
Like, he's worked his entire life to get to this spot. And so far, he's shown, like, he said that, and then he's shown that from every aspect that we've gotten so far. It is evident that he wanted this from day one. And he's proven it so far, even though we haven't played any games. But, yeah, he's proven it so far.
All right, let's take a quick break here. If you want to give us a call, you want to weigh in on any of that, you can. 8150-939. When we come back, I know we're all sort of counting down to the NCAA football game coming out.
Yes.
And they're kind of doing the Madden thing with some slow rollouts of ratings and some pieces and things like that. They rated stadiums today.
Toughest like home places to play, yes.
This list is trash. We'll talk about it on the other side here. On the drive on the ball.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Presented by Fitness Market, right here on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back into the drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Jeff Lightsey Jr. here. The number, if you'd like to get in here again, 8150-939. That is the number 3831-939. For the UPS jobs text line textures. A couple of texts in reaction to that. The texture said, you mean he acts like this is a dream and not a chore, talking about Pat Kelsey. No question. He acts like this is a dream come true. And in particular, I think he does. Dieter's the one that really kind of called attention to this. that Tom in particular was kind of always on the lookout for coaches who were like, I can't mess this up. Not like I can't make mistakes. Like, whatever happens here, I can't blow this opportunity. And that those folks, like, they were desperate. They were in it for every little, like, they were going to leave no stone unturned. You were going to get whatever you could from them as coaches in order to be successful there. And Pat definitely gives all those vibes.
Yes. It goes back to him thinking, like, I may only get one shot at this. Like, I've worked, because it's not like he's been a coach for 4 years, 3 years, and then gets this opportunity. Right. He's been a coach for 12 years.
Yeah.
Like, so for the previous 12 years, no one thought he, for whatever reason, could have a job like this. Hell, a lot of us didn't think he should have a job like this, if we're just being honest. Like, when he's first announced, it's like, oh, we're getting a Charleston coach? And so now it's like, okay, I have to prove that Josh Hurd made the right decision. I have to prove the people, because whether they want to admit it or not, they're still doubters. They're still like, hey, he hasn't won a tournament game. He's only coached at Charleston and Winthrop. Like, there's somebody waiting for him to lose to come out of the woodworks and say, I told you guys it wouldn't work because you're getting a small-time coach. You're going to get small-time results, whatever. And so now it's like, no, I have to be able to shut that guy up to prove him wrong and to prove Hurd and the rest of the people that took a chance on me right.
Now, I mentioned these stadium rankings today.
Yes.
Apparently, the college football game, when it comes out, like, there really is a heavy emphasis on the impact of the home stadium and that sort of thing on teams, which was in the game before. You remember, it would, like, swiggle the lines. Mm-hmm. And you try to look at your pass routes and all that sort of thing. Look, that's good. That's a good part of college football, to make sure that you highlight, because NFL stadiums, some of them are loud, and but they're all kind of antiseptic, and it's not really made for that.
No.
But college is like, no, we're going to interfere with things.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, we're going to squeeze 110,000 people into this place.
Have you looked at the lists?
Oh, gosh, it's so bad.
Okay, so we all agree.
But, like, hey, to the NFL point, like, you have visiting fans all the time. College is not a lot of visiting fans.
That's also true.
Mm-hmm.
That's because there's hundreds of them, and they're, like, far-flung across the country, all of them. This list, if you had asked me, I don't know anybody who, if you asked them, what's the hardest place to play in all of college football? In my life, guys.
Here we go.
I've never heard some, and I hope they're not listening because they're crazy. I've never had someone say, well, you know, Kyle Field, Texas A&M.
Yeah,
those. Like, that place is the worst. It's impossible.
Oh, man.
I've never had one person ever say that to me. How the hell are they number one on this list?
Especially come off Jimbo Fisher, who had a national championship, and you never were feared for going into that stadium.
I mean, even at their quote-unquote peak with Johnny Football, you still didn't hear that. Man.
Or, like, any other time.
Like, it's just what I'm saying. But, like, if that's their highest during the most recent era, like, nobody's. This was for exactly what we're doing right here. This was for the engagement. Because there was a lot of places you could have put it number one. And there would have been some chatter, of course, argument. But Kyle Field putting them at number one.
Everybody, I don't know that I would have put them in the top 10.
I mean, come on.
It's like, huge.
I don't even know if it'd be a top 10 SEC team.
Yeah. It's an enormous stadium.
Yes.
And it's weird.
And the people are weird. They got the call leaders.
You probably do get down there and be like, are we going to die? Like, yeah. Maybe. Okay, I get that.
The swaying back
but in
and
terms
forth.
Of, like, I've never watched a bunch of people, like, jump off sides a bunch of times and be like, there it is. Mm-hmm. I've done that. I've seen that Alabama.
Yeah.
I've seen that Florida in my life. I've LSU. Seen Clemson, Florida State. Like, I've seen it in a lot of places. I have never seen anyone talk about, like, in the 12th. Like, what are you doing? No one thinks that's the toughest place.
Yeah,
no,
you trying
one.
To appease the 12th man? Like, come on.
It's for the engagement, guys, because they knew we would be pissed off by this, and it worked. Because, like I said, most of these places in the top 10, maybe outside of Camp Randall, if you put them at number one,
you can see what they're getting at.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Texas A&M thing makes absolutely zero sense. Zero. But,
I mean,
that's what gets
it going. LSU at night shows up on the seismograph.
I mean,
that they have on campus at LSU.
Like, there's legendary talks about Death Valley at LSU, the Swamp, Bryant Denny, like, all of it. Like, it's a ton of SEC places that you could say, like, it's a little different.
Like,
there.
It was a good joke. Like, I'm not sure they're even top 10 SEC, but, like, you could probably, make a case. Let's do it. We get Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about not bigger or better, just more difficult to deal with.
Yes.
Alabama, Florida, Georgia,
Auburn,
LSU, Auburn, Tennessee.
Now Texas.
Yeah, I would still throw Texas in there.
I think Texas now.
I don't think of Texas as loud.
Okay.
True.
I really don't.
Especially coming off of Final Four.
What? Oh, football. My bad.
Playoff.
I was like, what the
hell?
Don't call it that. That's not what it is.
He referred to it.
It threw me off big time there.
It did too for a second.
But like we just named seven.
Yeah.
Right off the top of our heads.
Easy. And the one that a lot of people, I've been getting a lot of like, you know, text and tweet. Apparently South Carolina is up there too. Like a lot of people have
that's
like
because they play that screeching noise.
Yeah, a lot of
that
people
that chicken noise.
Whatever it is. I mean, I even think
honestly, you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what that
in the
noise
it's
is.
Like you know how we do like cars first down, like when they do have it's just like this piercing, screechy chicken noise.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's
I
rough.
Didn't know that.
They probably kill me for calling it chicken noise, but like that's what it is.
The Gamecock.
he's after me.
What do you think of Michigan being below like South Carolina?
That was wild.
They were the champions last year.
I don't
year.
Think of Michigan as loud either.
That's another one that's a big stadium, yeah, and it's maybe very it's because of the numbers. Yeah. But I don't think South Carolina that loud either.
Well, they the thing about Michigan, someone did point out because we had this conversation, was Michigan. They don't have an upper level. I think everything like stops at one like level.
And they have just, a single level.
Yeah, a single level. And so therefore they just stuff a bunch of people on that level. But they don't
not comfortable.
But it's not loud though. It's because of the aesthetics of having it going up. So it's more like an NFL stadium as opposed to the traditional collegiate stadiums.
I'm not reading that text, and that might be what they call it, but I'm not reading that. Just in case. The top 10. They have at 10, Ben O. Griffin Stadium at Florida. Fine. It's had its moment, but I understand it like not being higher than that. Florida State at number 9, the Doak Campbell Stadium. 8, Gaylord Family Oklahoma Memorial Stadium.
I didn't see that coming.
I don't, and this is probably on me, I don't think of Oklahoma as being like raucous either.
No.
They were when Lincoln was there because they were turning out Heisman quarterbacks.
I'm sure I'm wrong, but I just don't see. I don't remember turning on a game and they're like 9 false starts because they're at Oklahoma.
See, I'm mainly associated with like winning, like teams that win a lot at home, and Oklahoma is one of those.
Yeah, I just, but like, now that's a point, but I wouldn't have had them top 10. Like, I when I saw them at 8, I'm like, and then the teams that are below them, like Tennessee and Clemson. And it makes sense to me.
So at 7, they have Wisconsin, which I get. 6, Beaver Stadium at Penn State.
Definitely.
Like some real views. So like that stadium when they do like the whiteout and all that sort of, it's pretty
at
awesome.
Night,
I want to go see a game there. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what my real ranking is. Like, do I really want to experience this, Oklahoma?
I think so. I can, but that's part of it to me. Like, aesthetically, I mean, loud.
If we're doing where I want to experience the game, Virginia Tech's won because of Metallica and their Sandman.
I need them to be good, though.
That's true.
At 5, they have Georgia, Sanford Stadium at 5, Ohio State at 4, Tiger Stadium LSU at 3, Bryant Denny, Alabama at 2, and then Kyle Field at 1. I like 2 through 7.
Mm-hmm.
1 is asinine. It just is. Other things that I note about this, Clemson at 12, that seems crazy to me.
It is.
That is a place that melts people.
Yes. For a long time.
I would have it higher than that.
Especially because you never know the
I would have it ahead of Florida State.
I would too. I would say I would.
There are no pictures of a dude shirtless reading a book at Clemson. There are at Florida State.
That is true.
I would have at least swapped them. Like that to me. And I think Autzen at Oregon.
It's getting up there.
I think they should be in the top 10. I think a team that wasn't in the top 25 that I thought could be in there was Washington.
Washington. Okay, yeah. So notable omissions.
Yeah.
Washington is like
clear.
Far and away. Like that is
that was clear as day,
ignorance on display. Like they didn't have enough advocates to tell people like this place is nuts.
I mean, even if you just watched them last year alone, it's like, oh no, that place looks insane.
What's it, they got a marina right outside the stadium? Because people like bring their boats because it's like near the water.
Mm-hmm. Tennessee has that too, right?
Tennessee does it?
Like the Navy, the it pulls up to the. Oh, they do? No, I know they do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah. No, they do. That was rhetorical. Yeah, I freaking know.
They're doing 21, I think it's a little low. Like, I don't know where I'd rank them. I mean, it's more like the brand than anything.
It's cool.
Yeah. I think 21 was right to me.
But I mean, Louisville fans made them take a timeout when we played up there in 2014.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Like, it's...
That's why I was like 21, and that was, to me,
does
that
anybody,
was
better. Like, I feel like the Boise was just like, let's put a group of five school in there, and, oh, they got the blue turf. Like, I mean, the group of five is probably one of the better stadium atmospheres, but I don't know if I would put it in 25. Maybe it's fair. I don't know.
Yeah. Now, if you looked at this list long enough, eventually you're going to be drawn to the fact that they have Iowa as number 20, most difficult places to play in the country, and I don't know what the hell they're thinking about.
Yeah.
It's just because they have a good defense.
Like, just because it's hard for us to watch doesn't mean it's hard for them to be playing there.
They got the wave, which is cool.
What?
You don't know the Iowa Wave?
We know the Iowa Wave.
Come on, Mark.
That doesn't make it hard to play there.
I was too distracted
by the sick kid. Like, come on.
Yeah, no. They shouldn't be. They shouldn't be the 20.
I drew the short straw and had a show for Iowa. No, I had a show for Iowa here.
It's weird. Like, it's very weird that no one says Kyle Field is number one.
No.
No one thinks Iowa's difficult at all. Mm-mm. Except for it's like in the same way Virginia basketball is tough.
Yeah, like when USC goes there, because they're in the Big Ten now, I don't think they'll have any trouble scoring points. You know, like that type of, like, I don't think the environment of Iowa is going to, when Oregon shows up to Iowa, it's like, I think they'll be just fine with Gabriel or whoever's their quarterback and scoring a bunch of points. No, Iowa being on the list was nuts.
Michigan State being on there, they still have an auto repair, like, shop in the stadium.
I didn't know that. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, like,
auto repair.
On one side of it, on the back, it's like garages.
Yeah, we're getting silly. Like, this is just silly. Michigan State and Iowa.
And then Mississippi State at 25. I mean, that's entirely because of cowbells.
Yes, absolutely.
Not because of anything having to do with the stadium, but it is pretty freaking loud.
It is very loud.
All right, let's get to the phones here. Paul, lead us off, everybody. Welcome into the drive on 9th and the Bell. What's up?
Hey, I was listening to y'all talk about the stadiums, and, you know, Louisville Stadium's not on there. But I was thinking we're almost a two – you'd have to put us at a two-tiered stadium because for, you know, Little Sisters of the Poor, we barely show up, but we're always there. You know, we put it to when Bobby Bowden first brought his Florida State team up here in a monsoon, and he's the crowd and everything, he's like, I never want to go back there again. You know what we did for Notre Dame last year, and you know, I think to some degree with the year before with Sam Hartman and Wake Forest, you know, we have a big game crowd. We always show up for the games where something big is on the line. I think if we could get that same energy or even half that same energy for a lesser game, we'd be right on that list because we do have a heck of an atmosphere when we get everything firing on all cylinders.
Appreciate the call there, Paul. I was texting with Eric McClain earlier because I know he's livid that they have Clemson as low as they do on the list. And like Andy Staples tweeted his own, and he had like Oklahoma State 10th. I'm like, get out of here with that.
Yeah, I seen that. Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
The wrong button. Like, what was that? But I said to Eric, like, I don't think that Louisville should be on there.
Yeah.
But at its best, it's as good as anybody.
I could agree.
Yeah, I think Paul is exactly right. Big games, do it well. No question. As good as anybody. I remember Stephen Godfrey, when he visited, came up here and wrote something about Louisville and Cincinnati when 2012. And Devontae Parker's like long catch and run for a touchdown. You know, that place was nuts. And he looked right at me like we're standing on the deck in front of the press box. He's like, this is as loud as anywhere in this moment, like right here. And I've never forgotten, you know, him saying that. It's just not like that all the time.
That's the
difference.
But some
of these places where like there's like a second, like a texture's like, I've been to Oklahoma and they've got, you know, it's a different level. Yeah, when you got like another 25,000-30,000 people on top of a stadium, it does. I understand that.
Like that matters. Like yeah, to go from like,
but not every stadium that's big is loud and imposing. That's how I feel about Michigan. That's how I feel about Texas, and that is how Oklahoma hits me. Like I don't remember people being rattled by it.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I think also you have to separate specialty games versus the place all the time.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, everybody, and I think that's where it hurts Louisville. Like, because yeah, your Notre Dame's, your ranked opponents, when you're shutting people out, like those are just specialty games. But what about the game when, I don't know, Austin Peay comes into town? Yeah. Like, how are you then? Whereas some of these places, like I went to Bryant-Denny when WKU played. Like I was there, like when Western, Taywan Taylor, they went down there. And it was packed and it was loud against Western. Like this is Alabama, the number one team in the country. And they were loud and they were proud against WKU. I was at, went to Death Valley when Western played LSU. And it was a monsoon. It was raining. And there were 100,000
people. Yeah.
Like, so that's the difference. Like, there was 100,000 people there in a rainstorm.
Yeah.
And these people were still very, very active.
All right, I'm going to get squeeze Jeff in here before we hit the top of the hour break here. Jeff, welcome into the Drive, bud. What's up?
Hey, guys. Good
buddy.
Hey, because I've been there, Texas A&M is absolutely the loudest stadium I've ever been in. It's ridiculously loud. You cannot hear anything. The cadets there for the military school and the Rough Riders start leading all this stuff, but they've got the decimal readers in there. They continuously hit 126 decibels all the time, you know, and they have the reader up there where they're trying to break their own record and stuff, and they don't just do it against big opponents. They do it against everyone. You can't hear anything in there, and when opponents go in there, you can't call plays. It's all got to be silent, and it's like what they're really known for. Apparently not over here, but it's the way it's built. That stadium is big, and it is tall, and it is closed in, and it is by far the loudest college football stadium in the country. It's ridiculously loud. It's real hard to concentrate in there. And if you watch games routinely with Texas A&M, the penalties are ridiculous on the other teams for false starts and stuff all the time. It's their big thing with the 12th man. You know, it turned off with, you know, being the kicker or the walk-on people or whatever to the crowd, and it's gross in there. Second would be Penn State, and I played a game in Penn State.
That one I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's crazy too. Michigan, like you said, not so loud because it is all one level and it's a big open bowl that goes down into the ground. So, you know, the sound just goes up into the air, so you don't really hear a whole lot in there. Clemson gets loud, but they pump in most of their noise through speakers and stuff, so it's not really loud. But, you know, it's I know you guys don't think it, but I absolutely 1,000% agree. Texas A&M is by far the loudest stadium in college football. It's not even close. So it's stupid.
Appreciate it, Jeff. But, thank you so much. I think A&M is, like, the most annoying place to play.
I can see that 100%.
But I think the team hasn't been good enough to just sort of make it a place people fear.
Especially number one.
Yeah.
Number one is, it's high. That's high. It's number one.
Yeah.
And they're not number one.
All right. Take a quick break. A texter said, by the way, they've been to Michigan. It's the wine and cheese crowd. They're basically like, it's the people that keep it from being crazy.
There we go.
I believe that.
That makes sense. That makes a ton of sense.
Like theater goers, you know, that's what I think of. All right, we'll take a quick break. One more hour to go here on The Drive on 1010 The Ville.